Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
In this episode of the podcast, we talk about the great football history headlines from the date of March 19th. And there's even an old football game to talk about that was played on this day in history. We have all that and more coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from the Pigpen in Western Pennsylvania to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of pigskindispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen. As we said at the beginning, we are going to talk about the football history headlines for March 19th. But I have something a little bit to share with you, because as I was doing research for the program, I was going through some old research of newspaper articles and magazines and some internet sites, and I came across a photograph that really spawned some memories. There was a picture of a player, and in the background was an official wearing the white knickers of officials. Now, we haven't seen that for the last 10, 15 years in the NFL, and it's sort of gone to all levels of football, but I have a couple special things to talk about with white knickers, because as you know, I was a football official for 27 years. Yeah, started in the late 80s, went all the way to just about 5 years ago. And so in the late 80s when I started, we had the white knickers, and we wore them all the way until probably about almost 2010. And that is a football official's spouse's worst nightmares, white knickers. Because when I started, we had no artificial turf fields in the high school level in Western Pennsylvania that I officiated. It was all on grass fields. And we all know what happens to a grass field when it gets wet. It turns into mud, and the mud sprays all over white knickers. Not the best color. I'm not sure whoever chose that. It's very traditional looking and everything, but not the best for the laundry, if you know what I mean. The other thing about the white knickers was when a ball was brand new, and even when it wasn't wet, you still get the dampness in the evening of doing a high school football game on a Friday night, just the dew, let alone any rain or snow that may come up. You would always get that dye would come off of the ball on your white knickers. Never anywhere else, maybe a towel, but always on the white knickers. You're throwing the ball back and forth to get it back in play, and you toss it to one another, and when you catch it, well, the moisture doesn't stop. The ball does, but the moisture sprays onto your white knickers. Just another pet peeve of things. Glad when the white knickers went away. I'm still glad for officials today that they're wearing the black slacks now, which looks a lot more athletic with the stripes, looks a lot better. And actually, it's more traditional. People say it's not, but if you look back at old pictures, Walter Camp officiating football games wearing dark slacks. Of course, he's wearing a suit also, but I'm not suggesting that, but the dark pants, definitely a good idea. Now, let's get into your football history headlines for this March 19th. And we promised you that there was a football game played on this day, and it happened on March 19th, 1892, at the Haight Street Grounds in San Francisco, California. The University of California at Berkeley versus Stanford University played their very first game against each other. This matchup is traditionally called the Big Game, or the Battle of the Axe, and it's the 10th longest collegiate gridiron rivalry in NCAA history. In this first game between the two schools, the Cardinal posted a 14-10 triumph over their rival. March 19th, 1991, the NFL owners stripped the city of Phoenix the right to host the 1993 Super Bowl game due to Arizona, the state of Arizona, not recognizing Martin Luther King Day. Yes, they were not allowed to have a Super Bowl that year. I think they ended up getting awarded a couple years later when they complied and honored Martin Luther King Day, but they did not get it for that 1993 game. March 19th, 1913, we have a birthday in Santa Clara, California. Nilo Flash Felucci, the star quarterback of Santa Clara from 1934 to 1936, arrived into this life. Nobody gave Santa Clara the Broncos a chance against the Tigers of LSU in the 1937 Sugar Bowl, per this bio on the Football Foundation's website. The Tigers, after all, were undefeated and looked like a lock to win the game. But they were not ready for the player like Flash Felucci was. Nello uses athleticism and smarts to put the Broncos up by 14 points early in the game. A steady downpour, a muddy field, helped to restrict the famed LSU passing offenses that they accounted so heavily upon the whole season. But LSU did manage to get back within 7 points until Flash struck again with a fumble recovery in the third quarter in the end zone that provided a Santa Clara 21-14 upset. Nello Felucci is placed into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1971, and he later played in the NFL for the New York Giants for a few years. Our next birthday is a very substantial one, March 19, 1914. Jay Berwanger, the very first Heisman Trophy winner in 1935 from the University of Chicago, was born. Jay was nicknamed the Flying Dutchman and was a two-time All-America halfback for Chicago, according to the NFF. In just 24 college games, he scored 22 touchdowns, averaged 4.2 yards per rushing attempt, and held a 25.7-yard average on kick returns. The Foundation voters placed Jay Berwanger into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1954. Jay is also the answer on another first gridiron history question besides the Heisman. He was the first player taken in the first professional draft by the Philadelphia Eagles, but promptly was traded to the George Halas and the Chicago Bears. And as that, he never played a down in the NFL, choosing a career in business instead of playing for football. This leads us to another birthday for this March 19th, and it happened in 1931, Vicksburg, Mississippi. Georgia Tech's two-way player at center and linebacker, George Morris, was born, per the NFF. During the span of time that George played with the Yellow Jackets from 1950 to 1952, the Ramblin' Wreck ripped off 23 straight victories, and Georgia's stout presence in the middle of the offense and defense were a big part of that success. Defense was his strong suit, though, as during his junior and senior seasons, only two opponents managed to score more than one touchdown against Tech. The National Football Foundation voters chose the name of George Morris in 1981 to be included among the Gridiron Greats in the College Football Hall of Fame. March 19, 1938, Santa Fe, New Mexico. Joe Capp, the Cal quarterback of 1956 through 1959's era, arrived into this life. The footballfoundation.org website says that Joe led the Golden Bears, the team, in total offense all 3 years of his career. Capp was a first-team All-American selection, finished fifth in the 1958 Heisman Trophy voting, and led California to a Rose Bowl appearance. The College Football Hall of Fame set up a place for Joe Capp in their museum in 1972. March 19, 1954, Flint, Michigan. The stellar linebacker from Dartmouth, Reggie Williams, celebrated his day of birth. An interesting thing about Reggie was his ability to overcome obstacles, such as the limited hearing that he had since birth, and some experts such as Bo Schembechler at Michigan considering him too small to play fullback. His outstanding academics is what drew Dartmouth's attention, even though his high school guidance counselor discouraged him from attempting to go to the Ivy League school, thought it was out of his league academically. Williams proved them all wrong, as he did well in school and on the football field too. On the gridiron, success stemmed from a switch from fullback by his coaches to play linebacker and paved the way for stardom for Reggie, as his very high motor was perfect for that position. As a senior, he had 117 tackles to lead the team, and Reggie was named an All-Ivy League player and named as a first-team All-American. The NFF Selection Committee honored the great collegiate career of Reggie Williams in 2007 by placing him in their College Football Hall of Fame that year. March 19, 1965, Fort Wayne, Indiana. The smart and speedy cornerback from Purdue University, Rod Woodson, was born. The NFF's bio said he was a 1986 consensus first-team All-American, and Rod Woodson ended his stellar Purdue career holding 13 individual records. Rod was a three-time first-team All-Big Ten selection who started all 45 games of his career for the Boilermakers and finished his career with 445 tackles there, 11 interceptions, 29 pass breakups, while adding 71 kickoff returns for 1,535 yards and a touchdown. The College Football Hall of Fame welcomed Rod Woodson to their fold of legends in 2016. Woodson was picked 10th overall in the 1987 NFL draft by the Pittsburgh Steelers. He had an NFL career that lasted 17 seasons, 10 with the Steelers, 4 with the Baltimore Ravens, 2 with the Raiders, and 1 with the San Francisco 49ers. He played in 11 Pro Bowls and was an All-Pro 6 times and was the 1993 Defensive Player of the Year and even won a Super Bowl. In 238 games played, he registered 71 interceptions and scored 12 touchdowns as a pro. One of those touchdowns was on a fumble. 1,558 combined tackles, and 530 of those were solo tackles. Rod Woodson was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the year 2009. And what a great pro, what a great collegiate player Rod Woodson was, as well as all of our Hall of Famers that we mentioned today. They're not in the Hall of Fame for no reason, because they are some great standout players for both their teams and for in the nation the years that they played. And that's why they were all pros and in the Hall of Fame of college and professional levels. Now, we talk about these folks every day. We honor the legends of the Hall of Fame every single day on their birthdays of the year. We podcast every single day of the year, and we hope that you join us every single day of the year. And if you don't, if you miss a couple, don't worry. We have the place to go. Go to pigskindispatch.com/podcast. You'll see all of our podcasts. We're up in the 200s now of episodes, so you can find the one you want. Surely they're titled well. If you know a certain birthday of your Hall of Famer you want to look up, you can go there. We also cover a lot of football news. It's a slow season right now in the off season, but once things heat up, we have plenty of football news. If you go back and check out some of our September through February podcasts, you'll see what I'm talking about. And we try to cover all levels of football and all professional leagues. So we're always looking to expand. If you have something you want us to talk about, please email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com, and we will try to get to that. We also have our Football by Numbers series going on. The number 19 is going to be coming up here in a couple days, and we have some great guests to talk about that. We have the Newman brothers, Dan and Andrew, to be our guests for the number 19s. And then coming up on Tuesday, the March 23rd, we have the football history dude himself, Arnie Chapman, joining us to talk about the Football by Numbers for the number 20. And he has got a favorite player there. And I'm sure you can imagine, if you know Arnie, who that is. If not, you'll have to wait for the surprise, because it's another great episode. And we're going to go all the way up to 99. We started with zero. So if you miss some, don't worry. Go to that pigskindispatch.com/podcast. You can find it there. You can also find all of our episodes at your favorite podcast provider and on the Sports History Network. We talked about Arnie Chapman just a second ago. He is the founder of Sports History Network, and his program is on there as well as ours and almost 20 other podcasts of all kinds of sports history, not just football. Make sure you check that out, because there's some great hosts, great guests, great topics, great subject matter, sports history. You want to do it, sportshistorynetwork.com. And so until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear, And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.